Welcome to the Banter.
Three balls, two strikes. Got it. What is up? Welcome back to the Battery. We back, three of us, we three. Isaiah still sitting here with Echoes McGee. We're going to go through it. It's going to be great. And RJ is sitting with some flow, question mark. Is that flow? Is that what you want to call it? Is that what you want to say?
I don't know.
Is that flow? When's the last shower, RJ, just for the people?
I shower every day. It's the shampoo aspect. I think I shampoo probably once a week and a half.
Well, of course. You gotta keep the natural oils in the hair. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't learn that until a couple years ago.
Me neither.
Game changer. Yeah, that's probably why we're both losing hair, eh?
I know. Look, I've had dandruff since like 2014, and Jesus. I was just always trying to fix it with Head and Shoulders. And then someone told me, hey, you know, you have dandruff because of Head and Shoulders, right? And I was like, what do you mean? Dude. It's supposed to fix the dandruff, is it not? And then that's when you get a girlfriend and they tell you that you're an idiot. So...
Well, I'll tell you what, I was taking hair advice from my dad and he's bald and he was a teen and he's a make sure we shampoo condition twice, boys, every shower. And we're like, okay, because you don't know any better.
Exactly.
Just grow up learning that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so frustrating.
Yeah.
Man.
My dad's been having the Head and Shoulders in the corner of the shower since I was like 10 years old. And every single day, make sure you shower, make sure you wash, make sure you soap. Got to be smelling good. He used to tell me actually to take deodorant and put it across my chest as well as my armpits, just to make
sure
I smell.
He's got a stink problem, man.
Apparently.
Either he's got a stink problem where that you had it, or you just were a smelly kid.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Oh, how about baseball though? Is my question. You know,
that's same a thing. Life lesson though, Wedge. You can't glance over the life lesson of not using shampoo.
Yeah. That's right.
It's a tough one. So for all kids listening at home, make sure you go. Just be weary of the shampoo use.
Be weary? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It works. But on a baseball, so I brought up a question before with Wedge. Isaiah, you weren't in the conversation yet, but I don't want to say I'm stressing. But when I look at – so it's the first time I've ever actually coached a team, right? Like a head coach. I've always been supporting staff, and I love that position. It's sick. You just kind of show up with your own plan. You can do your own thing. They give you time. It's sick. But now that I'm actually organizing the whole thing, I find myself not second-guessing, but I'm like, man, is the stuff I'm doing now the right stuff that's going to be like, is it going to work where I'm not going to be behind later come season time? You know what I mean? And we're inside. So I basically just break it up because we're also not throwing right now. I break it up into three different things. It's like Mondays and Thursdays are infielding drills. And we constantly keep throwing new stuff at them, new stuff. And then Wednesdays are just hammer hitting the entire time. And as we go, come back from the break, it's going to be hitting, probably throwing, hitting, throwing, hitting at the end. But I'm just making, like, I'm stressed. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think first off, the fact that you're questioning this is a good sign. That's the first thing. Cause there's too many people that like, don't at all. Like, they're just like, yeah, we'll do this today. And they just show up, kind of past conversations that we've had a million times, RJ, they just show up off the cuff and don't really have like a future in mind at all. They're just like, hey, let's just do this today without like any, like, they just do A, B, and then they're like, is it C later on? You know, like, but the fact that you're questioning, I think like my first response is it's good, at least that you're questioning, because you're being, I guess, self-reflexive in how you want to kind of go about that. And Isaiah, I know that you program a lot, so you probably have a better idea as to how to answer that question than me.
I can answer that from like a strength and training perspective, but I'm in the exact same boat as RJ.
Don't tell me that you programmed me. What do you mean?
Oh, here we go. I got somehow, I don't want to say I got conned because like I'm pretty fired up about it, but I'm going to be working with the Bantam AAA team up here. And I'm sitting here like, RJ, man, I'm an outfielder and you guys want me to rip bunt defenses with these boys? You want me to run daylight with the shortstop? Like, I'll figure it out, but I'm not. This is going to be greasy. And when we're inside, boys, like we're hitting and we're getting really good at defense and we're going to throw a hell of a lot of strikes because I can't stand watching bad baseball. But yeah, I feel you. I'm in the exact same boat trying to map out like 4 months of routines for these guys to make sure they're ready. But Wedge, you're the vet here, the coach. Yeah,
you're the actual fucking baseball guy here. You're a baseball coach.
I tell you what. Our guest is here. So you know what? We'll ask him. Okay, because
actually, great call.
He's gonna have a better idea of how to answer this question. This is a guy. This is a guy that's gonna be able to answer. So I'm gonna let him in, and we'll have that awkward moment where he's figuring out his microphone. Here we go.
Imagine if he actually doesn't have the answer, and he says off the cuff, he goes, "Actually, I just kind of go A, B, C every day. I'm leaving the conversation if that happens. I'm leaving.
I just wing it, man. I don't really know what I'm doing. There he is. God, man. There's the guy.
I miss him.
There he is. What do you call him? Gams?
Call him Gams. Oh, I miss you, bro. Dude, Wedge didn't even tell me that you were the guy.
Yeah, I sprung this one on them, Cammy. Yeah,
that's so good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, buddy.
You fantastic good? To have you.
Yeah, glad it was a surprise to you guys. RJ, it's been a while. Same with you.
Oh, it has. Yeah, I think it's been since like fantasy football or something, fantasy baseball, whatever it is.
So I guess I'll introduce our guy for the listeners. He's Cam Williams, and for anybody that has ever touched CCBC dirt. He hit 900 against the Coyotes. At least that's what it felt like. And he was basically, he's a guy that all three of us know, from different ways. Like Isaiah and I both played against him and he slaughtered us, and, RJ played with him and on Weyburn. Right. So the other thing that's probably a little bit more noteworthy, and this, and I have no proof of this statement that I'm about to say, but I want to say you're the youngest CCBC head coach in history, because I can't really think of anybody else that might have gotten this position younger, as the acting currently head coach of UFC baseball, the Dinos, as they call
them. Yes, sir. Wow. Jake Lanferman might have me now up in Edmonton. I'm not sure exactly
how old. Lanny. Wow, the young bloods.
Yeah, so he just finished up too, and it seems like he's doing a really good job up in Edmonton. So seems like he's enjoying it too, which is what it's all about, right?
Lanny might have the best smile in baseball, honestly.
Top three.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. So, man, I got a million questions for you, because, like, I mean, first off, what did you do that I didn't do? Because and I love the juniors. I love the juniors, but
question wedge. I don't know. No, I'm lucky, man. I'm really lucky. It's positioned over, kind of opened up at the right time, and I was lucky enough that my alma mater was looking for a guy that had experience and success in the academics and athletics side of it, right? So like I said, I consider myself really, really lucky, but that being said, I don't think it's undeserved either, right? So
hell yeah, it's not undeserved.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah,
overall just really lucky, really grateful for it, and I'm having fun. That's, and I'm having a really good time. It's hard to believe it's halfway through my second year already, but it's going well.
Awesome, man. So the first year was kind of a wash, just obviously for obvious reasons, but you guys had the fall experience with you guys had the CCBC kind of mock championship, yep. The makeup championship in the fall. I didn't really read a whole lot. All I know is that those OC guys kind of took the tournament, but other than that, like, how was it for the new group?
It was good. So actually one thing that we did with our group, for the fall tournament was we let all our returning guys play in it, so the incoming freshmen didn't. The reason why, the last 2 years of good seasons have been canceled, right? They miss on so much baseball that I couldn't imagine us, I know RJ, you're still playing, but I couldn't imagine missing two of my 4 or 5 years of eligibility, right? So I let that go to those returning guys, which was about 31-32 guys, and then we had a big and strong recruiting class that I filled out our fall schedule more or less kind of tailored for them, and they did a really good job too. So as a program, I think we went something like 22-14 this fall, so I'm really excited about that. Big steps ahead.
Yeah,
That's a little different than the Calgary.
Dude, that's a way right different. Yeah, even when I was living in Calgary, man, that's insane. Yeah. So, congrats, man.
Like I said, I mean, a lot of it's, we have a really strong older core. They've been doing a really good job staying focused and grinding their ass off and through COVID too, right? I know it's been really, really hard for them. But the first part of our fall schedule, facing PBA and Edmonton started off well, kind of started, dip off a little bit. But as a program goal for the fall and into the winter here, I'm really, really happy with how things have been going and how hard guys have been working.
Wow. Yeah, actually, and I'll hog the question for one more question, because I obviously I'm in touch with Jeff White all the time, and And he's brought it up numerous times to me how different Calgary is right now with you there, especially in terms of recruiting. And he was like, I've never had to compete with Calgary to recruit guys. And right now I got guys being like, yeah, actually I'm talking to Calgary and you know, they're looking good. And you know, what do you have to offer? And that's never been like a conversation since he's been there. And he's obviously started, you know, OC way back like 12 years ago now. So like, kudos, man. Like, what are you doing different with your recruitment? Like, what's happening? You just active? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I try to be as active as possible, right? I mean, I don't want to speak too much on what it was like before, because at the end of the day, it's, I mean, kind of my business, kind of not, right? But I think just, again, being myself in the recruiting process too, right? Guys want to get to know me, right? And that's something that I take pride in. I think the recruiting game is fun, honestly. Like, you know, I get to try to sell our program, and I think Calgary has a lot of good things to offer, right? Obviously, I'm a little bit biased opinion, but it's an awesome, I've lived here for 8 years now. It's an awesome city. It's a really kind of growing city too, right? And really, really good academic school. And like I said, I've always, my whole playing career, I always wondered why isn't this more of like a top, you know, school to go to, right? And I think it has the potential to be that, you know, based on the city that we're in and the academic side of things. And, you know, but unfortunately in years past it wasn't, and we're trying to build off that though, right?
And it's a pretty special thing for yourself to be in that position too, because you were like, your university's career was spent there, like you alluded to before. Mm-hmm. And I mean, homebred guy, basically 8 years it's home now, you know what I mean? After a few years, I'll tell you that. How much to yourself? Because I mean, you went straight from playing basically right the coaching, wasn't it based? Yeah, wasn't it pretty much like that?
Yeah, I guess there was like a 2 years where like I coached with, I guess, Junior Dinos or Bucks now.
Yeah. Right? Still within the organization though, basically.
Speaking new team, right? But like, yeah, out of APA, right? Out of
football. Yeah,
You know, and like I said, I helped out a little bit with you when I was around with the UFC team, but you know, for the most part, I kind of stuck with the 15U and 18U groups, and where I actually got a job with a guy, I have my kinesis degree, and I got a job with my kinesis degree right out of school too. So that kind of took priority for a little bit. And then, like I said, mid COVID, the position opened up and I was, you know, on EI, and I was like, yeah, why not? Right. So, they sent our AD an email saying, hey, you know, you want me to send a formal application? He said, yeah, let's go for it. And here we are. So, it was a wild process, but, it's relatively, you know, playing to coaching. Right. And, yeah. It's funny because, you know, some of our like senior guys last year and this year were freshmen my senior year. So there's actually a bit of an overlap. Right? So they've been really good. They bought into the process, and, you know, like first thing I did when I got the job was I called them and, you know, went over some ground rules and expectations.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
But they've been awesome. You know, they bought in, you know, I had no issues there.
Was that would be like Jordan Smith.
Smitty's old, right? We played together for 3 years, and same with Owen Steele.
Owen Steele.
They're actually only like 3 years younger than I am, right? So
he was a Weyburn guy too, right? Owen Steele.
He played in Yorkton.
Yorkton, yeah. He had a year in Yorkton.
Yeah, so he was like the ERA leader, Wimbledon ERA leader in Yorkton, first team All-Star in Yorkton, and then he pitched in Hat in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Got the call up, hey?
Yeah. I pretty good team there too. So, but yeah, no. Again, Jake Hesslink as well, right? Chris Cook, those guys are all freshmen my senior year, right? So, like I said, I've had no issues with those guys. They work really hard, and they're really good with the young guys too. So,
I had a similar experience my first 2 years when I was grad assisting with OC. Yeah. Was like most of the core were guys that I played with, and then when they introduced the fifth year, which was shittily right after I finished playing. But those guys were around for two more years. And then I felt that third year when like more of the roster turned over and there was more young guys that didn't play with me and didn't party with me and didn't do all these other things with me. Right. Like then there was a lot, it felt easier to coach them at some aspects. Whereas with the older guys, it was like, okay, I'm here to help you. Like, I'm not here to try to tell you what to do. I'm just here to help you. Yeah. Did you kind of have that same relationship with like the older guys, like you said?
A little bit. I mean, the one thing with me though, is, I mean, if you remember my senior year, I was the only senior, right? I was the only guy. And that's why I only played 4 years. I didn't play five. Right. So I was the only senior, and right before the year started, our head coach got fired, unfortunately. Right. Yeah. So we had a coaching change right after our spring trip. Which actually is funny, is the same thing my senior year of high school, same thing happened. And there was only four seniors then, right? So it was kind of, I guess, like a process that I kind of had to step up a little bit at that time. And so that really helped me now, I think, right? It sucked at the time. I didn't want to have to do that, right? I just wanted to play, right? But, you know, and then be a leader, but not to that point, I guess. But it did help me at this point, though, right? And having that relationship of, you know, trying to help guys on and off the baseball field as much as possible. And then looking up to me and respecting my opinion, not just as a, you know, teammate guy that you partied with or whatever, right? So, but so I, again, like I said, I've had no issues there. So I commend them, because I know it probably wasn't the easiest thing for them either, having someone that they've, you know, gone to the bar with or whatever, right? And they've done a really good job, and just respecting, you know, my opinion and growing as a program, right?
I mean, honestly, man, that's got to be a tip of the hat to you, man. I mean, honestly, I'm not going to pump you up too much, but you need it. I mean, you're a fantastic guy, fantastic ball player. I mean, I enjoyed every time around you, man.
Not the best shortstop, though. I will say it.
Well, yo, Gabs is that 330 hitter, though.
Miggy, you want to play short today? Like, that was kind of a...
I gotta shout out my good friend Colin Rentoul for busting his throwing shoulder while skiing that year, and I had to bump over to short because he couldn't make the throw across. Thanks, Colin Rentoul.
You're telling me Colin Rentoul hit like 430 with one shoulder?
That guy can rake, but he still rakes. He's played. We all played in the men's league here, the FNBA now, and he dominates. It's crazy.
He's a staple of consistency. That guy. Same with you, right? Well, I want to ask you this question.
Isaiah, shut up. You can't talk.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Does Isaiah have any questions?
No, Isaiah's not here. Actually.
RJ, I'm just riding the bike here. I'm loving it.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'm gonna go ahead here. It must be pretty easy to recruit to Calgary. I mean, between the school, the city, and everything else. I mean, I was living there for a year. And I mean, I don't know what your top competition is for cities, but I mean, I have to imagine Edmonton's one of them. You know what I mean? Because I think you guys are actually recruiting guys from Winnipeg now too. So, and I've seen that through Home Run Sports Training Academy, which is just fucking support local, my guy. Let's go. Love to see that shit. But I mean, so you, especially being living there for so long, like you must be able to hype the shit out of that city and the program itself and the school and everything.
Yeah, I mean, we try, right? And that's, a lot of guys out of high school, and I totally understand it, is their first, they want to go down south. That's the first option. I get that, right? And I got to try to work with that and, you know, try to emphasize the academics here, right? And you know, within reason, to talk about price point and all that kind of stuff, right? And, you know, it's like I said, it is a game, right? It's a game within the game of trying to sell your program. And, like, the one thing that's nice with me is, like, I mean, I've lived in Calgary as a student. I've lived just, you know, as a, I guess, professional, if you will, after school, and now as a coach back with baseball. And, you know, I've kind of experienced all of it in terms of the recruiting side and what guys can experience coming to Calgary. And, you know, like there's so much to do, right? Like whatever your interests are, you know, there's so much to do in Calgary outside of obviously the student athlete life. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think a social life is really, really important. You know, it's the triangle, right? Of, you know, obviously you're here for school, here to play baseball. Right. But I think that third aspect, you know, of social life needs to be there too, or else the other two take over and then everything crumbles, right? And that's something that we're all fairly social guys, right? And it's really, really important, you know. As soon as one takes over or two take over, the others, you know, and then everything crumbles, right? So, but it's something that I personally believe in, and Calgary's a great spot for kind of all three aspects, in my opinion.
Yeah, can't agree more. I mean, it's a beautiful city.
I think Isaiah had something to say.
No, actually. Isaiah doesn't want
to say. Oh, I'm cutting you off, Wedge.
Do it.
It's okay to do that. There's the four of us.
You have to jump in, bro. You got to jump in. You can't just be like waiting, you know?
I'm actually really enjoying this conversation. So, and I'm picking stuff up. But Cam, me and RJ, this is a question for both of us as we dive into our head coaching careers. Obviously, we're not at the college level, but we like to think we are. You know, when we're thinking like 4 or 5 months down the road, we're in the middle of spring, playoffs are approaching. Me and RJ are trying to figure out, you know, what do our practice plans look like today? Like, are we locked in on hitting defense? Are we grinding out bunt defense in the middle of winter right now? Like, The boys need some help. We need some guidance, Cam, and you're the perfect guy to have on right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think number one, I know when Wedge and I, you and I talked about it not too long ago, is just always being prepared, right? And that's one thing that the biggest adjustment for me is preparing to have a practice plan for 51 guys, right? Like, you know, when I was running, you know, Phantom and 18U practices, there was about 15 guys, right? So, you know, just being as prepared as possible, right? Take the time, you know, a couple hours before to write out your practice plan. You know, I tape up our practice plan before every practice so the guys know what they're doing every single minute of every practice, right? So then it's a lot less explaining, right? And if they don't know where they're going, then that's kind of on that, right? There's a little bit more accountability there, right? So, and it shows that, again, that I thought about it, I was planned, I was prepared for every practice, right? So in terms of like what to do, especially as you're leading up to the season, I actually, a good friend of mine, you guys know Nelson Lipsick, what he told me was, you know, when you practice plan, you know, it's like training, right? Like you train almost like a percentage of how often it happens in a baseball game, right? So yeah, like you got to do your team D's, right? But like how often do you actually run a bunt D in the season? Like on average,
maybe never at my age.
Right, maybe
PFP
like
guy.
Right? Like half, maybe 0.5 on average per game, unless being generous, maybe like at the college level, right? So that's what 0.5 of every like, or one every like, what, 54 outs? So 2% of your practice plans should be on bunties.
Let me combat because sometimes those situations have more gravity, right? So like you have the game on the line and your bundy sucks ass, right? Yeah. So where's the balance? You know what I'm saying?
Again, as one thing, as you get into your season, that's something you always got to take away from your weekends, right?
I think this
is more like in the preseason, like the January, February leading up to things, right? Like,
sure.
I think we've all played for coaches that hammered home, you know, first and thirds and bunties, and we did that for 45 minutes twice a week, right? And it's like, wow, you know, how much more percentage is just taking your reps, right? Working on different plays in the hole, stuff like that, right? And especially when you're inside, because it can get redundant. It's easy for me to say, hey, go do first and thirds, go do throwdowns, right? But like, what is the percentage of how often it actually happens, right? And that's something that, you know, again, if we take care of the baseball with 98% of your plays, which are just your reps, then in theory, we should be in less critical bunty situations, right? I know that's theoretical, right?
Yeah. But you don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd rather just pitch and hit good. I'm wearing gloves now. It's
good. What are you doing? You can't just like bring big black gloves out into the camera and just like.
Is it cold?
It's cold. Dude, it's freezing in here. It's freezing in here. There's no AC, babe. There's no heating. Cold as shit in this room.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm all fine. I'm
just grinding for the boys.
I'm out here hustling. I was just gonna say I want to hit good and pitch good and like let it be 15 to 14 games. Let's just they're good outs. They just hit it. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, I as an infielder myself, I again hammered home the team D side of it right from a young age, even like 15. Like I was Quilton Reds guy, and we hammered that home then too. And it's like, well, like you know, I only got maybe a half a bucket of ground balls today, but I got, you know, 50 reps of first and thirds. It's like, well, you know, where's what's more important here, right? Yeah, so that's kind of my personal opinion. I'm not saying it's not important, I mean, you do have to practice it, like, you know, but like do it right for like 10 minutes like once a week. It's kind of the way that we like to try to do it, right? So hey, if you guys do this right, we can move on, go to something else, right? And just have it intense and for those 10 minutes, and then like we'll do it like Tuesday 1 week, Wednesday the next, Thursday the next, just in case there's guys that and I have a class or something that can't be there, right? So we don't do it every Tuesday, or else guys that are late on Tuesdays never do it, right? So, like I said, we definitely have more of an emphasis on just our reps and different, and trying to set up different plays and reps and stuff like that, right? And, you know, try to keep things as fresh as possible that way.
Smart. I never even thought about having a schedule around practices, classes and things like that. Man, it's been a minute. Classes, things like that. I know, like for us, we just have like our time block. Hey, if you're here, sweet. If you're not, all right, bet. We're just moving along. If you can come or not, man. Was the COVID year must have been kind of cool for you though, right? Because I mean, cool in the sense of it was like a toe in the water.
So
as opposed to just
probably
being
a lot of lab time too.
Yeah.
A lot of lab time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I mean, Yeah, I mean, it was almost like a trial year, right? Like, I got, you know, I got to get my feet wet a little bit and go through all this stuff and practice plan. And the only thing I obviously didn't have to do is worry about, you know, lineup decisions and that kind of thing. So, I mean, obviously that's half the fun of in managing a baseball game, right? And that's most of the fun of the job. But, you know, there's a lot more to it in terms of the administrative side and planning and all that kind of stuff, which isn't as fun. But, you know, and that's arguably way harder than, you know, the in-game stuff, you know, in-game stuff. We've all been around baseball, you know, for a fair bit of time. And, you know, a lot of people can make those decisions, but, you know, in terms of the practice planning and
budgeting,
you know,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff, administrative stuff, paperwork, that fun stuff. Right. But so I'm really lucky to have a really strong supporting cast and assistants that, you know, I don't have to worry about being at every single spot, every practice, right. Obviously we have 50 guys. And that would be impossible, right? But I got a really strong supporting cast where I can trust that they know exactly what they're doing. And
who are these men? Who are these supporting cast?
My pitching coach is Jordy Alexander.
Stud Sidearm Nation, right?
Yeah. He does a really good job.
No, with pitching. Not Sidearm Nation.
Jeff Freeborn is
Sidearm. My blunder. Yeah. Sorry.
Jordy was on his podcast recently, so maybe that's that. But
I got confused.
Jordy's awesome. You know, former Team C guy. Pitched for the Vipers here in Calgary, pitched like in 12 different countries. Really, really knowledgeable pitching guy. Has a lot of stories, baseball and non-baseball. But
the best stories, man.
And then hitting coach is Mike Osga. Alum of the U of C. Really, really, really knowledgeable, especially on the kind of negative new age of hitting. And he kind of blends it in with old school as well, right? So he does a really, really good job there. Well, I guess we have a bit of a revolving door of some alumni. Cam McLaughlin's around again for that fourth assistant coach. Cooper Finch, which is a Calgary guy here, went down to PBA. Just kind of, you know, guys that are willing to come back and help out and support the program that have been around it for a long time or have been away for a long time and want to help out again. So, like I said, all in all this fall, I think we have like 6 or 7 different assistant coaches, which, you know, I had a schedule for them and when they needed to be there, and we had practice planned around that, right? But, no, it ended up working out really well.
How many guys throw a good BP out of 8?
Jordy thinks he tore his UCL in the fall, so I had to throw every single day pretty well.
Oh, no.
So Jordy throws money BP, but like I said, I went to go pitch in a men's league game and couldn't feel his fingers after that. So,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, was it cold out? It might have just been cold. Did you ask him? Yeah. Could have just been the weather.
Yeah. Didn't warm up, I guess. I don't know. But, and then Ozzy's got a lot better. He was tough to start. He got a lot better. I mean, Tool throws good BP too. So
it's my secret shame watching people that can't throw BP. It is. Like, I just love standing there and, like, I'll let it go too long sometimes, you know, just on purpose. Like, just watching guys. Like, I don't know. You remember Brennan Reedy?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he came out with OC. And he'll laugh at this if he ever hears it. I don't think he listens, but it doesn't matter. He was throwing BP his first time as a GA, and he was all pumped up for it too. It was before a game. I think this is why White never let me throw BP before games, because of this experience. But he's throwing BP, and the first ball he throws, he hits the kid in the back.
Sick.
He goes, sorry, my bad. Like, oh, I'll fix it. Second ball he throws.
I'll make it better.
Second ball he throws, obvious overcorrection. Spikes. Yeah, obviously. That's the move that he's doing. Second throw he does, obvious overcorrection, spikes it into the lefty batter's box. Third one he does, he spikes it about 6 feet in front of the plate. Fourth one he does, he throws it over the kid's head, and he walked off. Done. He never threw BP again, ever.
4-pitch walk to lead off the game, and that was
Yeah.
Comes right back out, this guy here.
Like, they're having a tough go, and right away you ask him, hey, you need a pen guy? And he goes, no, and then you walk away.
Yeah. Okay, you're on your own, man. I gave you the out. All right. Figure it out, buddy. See you in a half hour. I'll have hitters go up later. Yeah.
I posted an Instagram story during the season this year. We had this guy, AJ Coppola, one of our imports. Our head coach wasn't there to throw BP, and he's like, oh, I can do it. I'm like, all right, man, try it out. And he goes, and three batters, got pulled. Our catcher went in there and started throwing BP, and I go into the outfield like a real piece of shit. And I gave him like an interview with a phone here. I'm like, hey, Ryan Johnson here with my buddy AJ Coppola. So quick relief appearance. And I just roasted him in front of me. He was just not having it. I'll send it to you. I think it's absolutely hilarious.
Incredible. Yeah, it was like our years in Weyburn, and Phil threw pretty good BP. Corey, not so
much. I was going to say.
It got to the point where, like, my last 2 years in Weyburn, I threw the group four.
Yeah. Corey had like the 6-point hinge going on.
Oh, no.
His backward collapse.
Yeah. You can see the gears grinding like pre pitch. Just, yeah. Corey would throw it up for pitcher's BP, and that was it. And that sucks.
Oh, man. I feel terrible for people that can't throw BP. Isaiah, get us back on the tracks, man. You got to contribute.
That's tough because I was going to, I was going to bring that up, Cam, but I didn't actually know the guy's name. But I remember watching a guy from Weyburn try and throw BP when I was in Smellville. So, that's hilarious.
That would be Corey Curry. Yeah.
The one and only.
Great guy. Terrible BP thrower.
Listen, he's the mental side of the game. He was the mental coach, man. He wasn't the BP guy.
That's true.
That's all right. That's unbelievable.
Cam, I'm gonna steal the light for a sec. So yeah,
please.
Yell at us though.
You've had the chance to play both sides of the ball, and we've got coaches listening, we've got players listening, and I've got a couple clients online that I train, and we're trying to find them a spot to play. And one of them happens to want to go into kinesiology, and U of C is a place I'm trying to get on.
You're trying to sell a player to Cam on the podcast right now?
On the podcast. That's pretty gutless. We're getting business on the podcast.
Trying to change lives. I see you working, man.
Yeah, we're working, man.
Hell yeah.
This is more than just a conversation. This is everything. But players listening, what can they expect? How can we recruit them over the Battery podcast?
Yeah, and what kind of guys are you looking for? Just to add on.
Yeah,
I'm looking for guys that have put effort in, like throughout a period of time, right? Like it's one thing to just send me your most recent video, right? It's one thing to send me your grade 11 stats or whatever, right? But you send me a video from, like a timeline, right? Like from 2 years ago, 6 months ago, now, right? And see the progression, right? Like, your lifting numbers, what your pull down, whatever, right? Exit velo. Just to kind of see, like, show that you've put a lot of time and effort into this, right? Like it's, again, any of us could go do a video right now and send it to somebody, right? But I want to see kind of a little bit more of that effort that you really care, that you really like want to take that next step. Right. So, and then provide references. That's the other one highly recommend doing, because I will ask for sure. Right. So and just, provide as much information as you can and have the references to back it up. Right. So that's one thing that, again, I guess I would tell any high school player right now is to take as much video as you can, record as much as you can. Right. And like I said, it might not be the best rep. It might not be the best swing. Right. But like, man, I've taken a lot of ugly swings in my life, right? And if you take 8 perfect swings, but like you could tell it's edited, right? I'd rather see like a round of 8, but like 5 or 6 are good swings, and then the other 2 are a rollover, a pop up, right? Like that's a lot more realistic.
So you're telling me that you can see through when I just crop out the bad swings at the end of my round?
Sometimes, right? Like, realistically, how many guys really?
It's not good.
How many guys hit 10 straight lineages, right? Like that's
Cam Williams does.
Right? Like, nah.
that's your bread and butter, my guy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But I think there's nothing like what I tell my guys when they're trying to go to Wimble teams and stuff, right? Like, let's just take a round of 8 swings and send it to them, right? Like, that goes a long way, right? Or like 3 straight throwdowns with no cuts, no edits, nothing, right? And like I said, you might have a not as great rep, but guess what? That's going to happen, right? And coaching for that. Right. So we're not unrealistic. We've done it. We've been through it. Right. And like I said, I think the best way to do it is just to try to be as kind of, honest as possible with it. Right. And we'll see through it. So,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, you could tell if a guy's good or bad straight up by seeing 5 swings a lot. Well, not if he's good or bad, but you can tell a lot about what they can and can't do, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Yeah, like, I mean, on the flip side, like, I mean, you're not, like, writing people off on 5.
No, of course not. That's not what I'm saying. But, I mean, if it's a round of 10 and 8 of them are good and 2 of them are rollovers, you're just like, yeah, whatever, it's a good swing.
Yeah, you hit 80% barrels, right? Like, that's, pretty good, right? So, and there's still more there even in your on your rollovers. You can tell bat path and all that kind of stuff and, overall strength, especially with, Rapsodo is a wonderful thing nowadays.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But, how much do you guys look into the numbers?
So we only have the pitching one right now. So the hitting one is on the way, or hopefully on the way soon. But
it's on the boat, eh?
I know. Oscar's probably drooling waiting for that thing.
We used to always say that the we ordered pitcher bags 1 year and they never showed up. And every single year we would show up and the pitchers would be like, hey, where are the bags? And our JJ over at OC would always just be like, oh, they're on the boat, man. They're on the way. But every time just something never shows up or yeah. is suspect, it's on the boat. It's on the boat.
Yeah. So that's kind of the next big purchase, I guess, for our program is the hitting Rapsodo. So, but yeah, we got the pitching one last year. And it's awesome. Like it's, you know, we used it, you know, pretty well for as many pens as we can. We use it, you know, in our inner squads in the fall. Right. So, it's great for guys to, again, it's, you know, it's, I have this conversation with a lot of like, you know, I guess amateur coach or high school coaches and they're like, well, why do you really need that? Right. And it's, well, so they're not trusting our old, you know, eyes. Right. So, you know, it's more to it. It's like, obviously what we should be saying should line up with what the Rapsodo is, you know, telling them. But, you know, if they don't, that's another problem, I guess. But if they do, then those players are like, okay, these guys aren't full of it, right? Mm-hmm. They see it for their eyes. They make that little adjustment, right? And it's got an extra inch and a half of horizontal break or whatever, right? Like, yeah. You know. So it's definitely very, very useful. Yeah, looking forward for the hitting one because that's obviously more my area of expertise.
Yeah, we got our hitting Rapsodo, I want to say, a month and a half ago. And yeah. I use it every single time, partly because I'm one of the only guys that knows how to set it up at this point, but also because it's fantastic. And you know, I was just making report cards I've been making report cards for the players over the Christmas break, using all that data, and it helps me like tell them stuff too, right? Like you look at it, you go through the numbers, you're able to be like, okay, like this guy is hitting the ball 30 feet shorter on average, but he's hitting it 4 miles per hour harder with the same launch angle. What's the deal here? Yeah. And then you look at their spin rate and you can be like, oh, okay, this guy's like clearly uppercutting because the spin rate is way too low for a 25 degree launch. Like, so then you can go back to the lab and you can be like, hey, like, let's focus on maybe some top hand feels. Let's focus on maybe getting a little bit more down, thinking down on the ball, maybe. Like, let's think about getting a little bit more out front. Like, so anything, right? Like, it adds to the feels. We'll have to exchange notes for sure because there's not a whole lot of people that really like use it in Canada yet. I feel like it's hard to get. I mean, they're expensive.
On the west side, anyway, I think.
Growing for sure, right? Right? And I mean, the one thing, especially when you're in a cage all winter, right? Like, you know, like our example always like, so a line drive off the back square of the machine or off the cage, right? Like in our eye, like that looks like a great swing. A lot of times that lands, that's a ground out. Yeah. For the shortstop. Or it's a line out, really the ones up to the top of the net are probably line outs to center. Mm-hmm. Right. So like obviously those are still good swings. They're barrels, you know, they probably hit them at 90 plus, hopefully, right? 95 plus, right? But a lot of those are outs still. Right. And that's something that to kind of change your mindset of, especially being stuck in a cage for 4 or 5 months in Canada here. Right. And, you know, some guys think they hit a line drive halfway up the net to the pole side and they think that's a rollover. It's like, that's a base hit every single time.
Yeah. It's a frustrating thing. Yeah.
You know,
like that's the line started the back of the plate. Yeah.
Like the foul lines go, obviously, you know, straight out basically, especially when it looks like in your cage and guys hit, you know, lignes to the left side and they think it's a rollover because it goes into the net 4 feet down from them. Right. And it's like, well, that's a single, maybe a double every single time, like, you know, but, and that's one thing that Rapsodo would be good for is showing those results. Right. And like, same thing, we've all heard like those sounds a little bit off the cap, but they sound great. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the kid, you know, looks like, you know, pimps a little bit and it's like, well, that actually probably went 280 feet.
It's a fly ball to left field. Yeah, sorry. Right? Like, two outs.
Yeah. Right. But we've all kind of been there where it's hard to judge those balls on your eyes or hard to judge exactly what's going on with the swing, you know, because off the bat, it looks great. Sounds great. Right. And, you know, it's something that those tools are just, you know, so beneficial for players and coaches.
I tell you one more thing that it's really been doing is it's infuriating the kids that think that they hit it hard and they don't. Yeah. Like they're in the cage and they get their imagination is going, man, I crushed that ball. I hit it so hard. And then they look at it and it's like, what? That was only seven, especially with the 15-year-olds, right? That was only 77 miles per hour. Like that guy over there. And like, we got an overage guy that's consistently 95 to 100 on his exit velocity. It's Hepburn, no surprise. But, and then we got other guys that are like watching him hit and then they'll go up being like, oh yeah, he's hitting 95, 96. And then they go up and it's like 76, 77 and they're barreling it. And then they come up to me and be like, and I've had like more kids this off season ask me, how can I get my exit velocity up? How can I do this? How can I do that? And I'm like, go to the fucking gym, buddy. Okay. Yep. You're 15 and you're 135 pounds.
Yeah.
Go contact my guy, Isaiah McDonald. He'll make you a program and
eat.
I guess he's steam coming out of his ears. He's like, please don't. I'm already fucking full, bro. I've got 100 kids.
You're the reason I have DMs.
I have bashed him AAA at the coach.
I'm just advertising everybody here. Jeez.
Yeah. It's great. It's a truth teller is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And for recruiting purposes too, like, it's not just about reputation anymore. Like, okay, I know this coach. Yeah. And sometimes coaches will be like, man, I got to get this kid somewhere. Let's send him over to the guy that I know, you know? And then you go, okay, what's his rep soda numbers? Or what's his pitching numbers? What's his whatever? What's his track, man? What's his, you know, whatever you got.
And show then, me the Carfax. Yeah, show
yeah, me that. Exactly. Yeah. And then you're like, man, you're sending me this guy with an average 63 exit velocity. Like, what am I supposed to do with this kid? Like, you're my boy, but let's be real here. You told me this guy was going to be my starting center fielder next year. Yeah. Come on now.
That's numbers don't lie, right?
Yeah.
Numbers don't lie.
How has Jordy adjusted to that, to the rep soda for the pitching stuff? Because obviously an older generation guy, but for you guys who don't know Jordy, he was like a prototypical Greg Maddux, basically, right?
Left-handed.
Tom Glavine, right?
There you go.
Didn't throw hard, but was it? Yeah, my bad. Lefty, Tom Glavine. And he was able just to, even when I was there, he always harped on, you got to figure out a way to cut the plate with whatever you can, anything that moves from short side to side. So he's a finesse guy majorly. So he must really kind of fuck with it, I bet, eh?
Like at first, but I think he's really grown. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, that's the way baseball is going, you know, and whether you like it or not, that's where it's going. So you might as well adjust, right? So, you know, and then he understands that it's some of the numbers and some of that, like, he doesn't maybe quite understand, which is fine. But he understands, like, how to make those adjustments. It's just different terminology, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, 4 years at the top of the zone have always been a thing, right? Like, that's not new, right? For the most part, right? So it's just, kind of giving those kind of ideas a proper number or an attribute or whatever, right? And that's kind of linking those, and he's done a really good job learning from that. And, you know, because it is a kind of more new school thing, right? And you know, and not that Jordy's out of touch by any means, but he's done a really good job learning that stuff, and you know, and optimizing, you know, because every pitcher is different. Like, some guy could be still be more of a sinker slider guy. Yeah. Right. But other guys, you know, like, even they might not throw that hard, but like, they have, like, you know, 2400 RPM on their forcing fastballs. Like, well, there's no reason you should be throwing a two seam, really. Mm. Right. Like,
no,
again, we have a guy, Ethan Bromley, who's, you know, high sevens from the left side, but like, his fastball's got, you know, elite RPM, especially for throwing high sevens. Right. So it's like, and he's always been taught, like, throw two seams, throw cutters, right? And throw sliders. Yeah. It's like, well, you should be a force in the top of the zone with a curveball off of that kind of guy. Because, and guess what? That's what he's gone to. And he was lights out all fall.
Wow.
Right? And all summer and, you know, in the men's league here in Calgary, too. So, you know, and just those kind of simple adjustments. Because, again, though, that stuff doesn't lie, right? So, but that being said, some guys who think they should throw force into the top of the zone, but have like an 80% spin efficiency, you should call it.
You're gonna get lit.
Let's work at the bottom of the zone there, Chief. You'll be all right.
Maybe you walk a couple more guys too.
Ways. And it's optimizing what these guys got, you know, to help us win ball games and get them better and develop at the end of the day, right? So that's you know, what we're trying to do anyways.
Yeah, it's a truth teller, but it's not always an easy truth to swallow, you know. Like, it's not always easy to hear that your shit isn't as good as you think it is. And if you're humble enough to take that information, then you can go back and get better.
Right? Yeah, I've definitely seen at times maybe guys unhappy with what it says, and and they think it's BS or whatever.
So many guys.
Mystery. It's a mystery.
This is bullshit, man. This machine's like, it doesn't make sense. Like
I just, oh my God. Yeah, man, you know better than this, you know.
The $6,000 machine is basically AI, but you're right.
All 30 big league organizations and most D1s use, I'm sure, is full of shit, right? Like, okay, right? But I know, for the most part, again, that was especially at first. So we got it like last winter, right? And it's guys are definitely a lot of high school programs have it now too, right? So it's one of those things guys are comfortable with. Like, a lot of our guys in our recruiting class this year were comfortable with it, know exactly what they mean and how to optimize their stuff. Going into our program, which was really nice, because then we didn't have to explain everything to them all over again, right? So
I just want to get back to Jordy again. It helps to have a guy like that with that experience, where let's say a guy does come in and then he doesn't he looks at the numbers and you guys are like, oh shit, we kind of have to teach a little bit here, you know. Maybe some new pitches are involved, because that's a reality. I mean, frankly, if I was 18 going into that program 100 years ago, then I would have loved to have, I just want to get a smile out of you for that one. That's all. But I mean, it would have been nice to know, like, okay, hey, I walk in there and I have only a four seam, but my spin rate is 80%, right? My efficiency is only 80. Okay, hey, let's do a two seam now. You know what I mean? Let's work on a slider now instead of having to go four seam banger. You know what I'm saying? It's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
And having a guy like Jordy is just nice.
Yeah. Jordy teach those things. The feel side of pitching and the mental side of pitching.
Jordy's awesome, that's it. Which is just a veteran guy.
That's half, if not more than half, of the other, you know, the actual pitch sequencing and below and actually throwing the ball is it's a lot of it's, you know, obviously, as you guys know, between the ears, right? And that's one thing that, you know, Jordy excels in. And that's, and unfortunately, our pitching staff in recent years hasn't been great. And that's an area that we need to improve on. Right. And then Jordy's done a really, really good job there. So, team ERA this fall was like high three, which is outstanding. Especially for Canadian college baseball, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, our pitchers did a really, really good job this fall.
Yeah. I have a big question. Isaiah, you open your mouth. You want to speak?
Dude, speak.
You don't ask me. Sorry, man. Feisty. All right. I have a big question. So follow me here. Okay. Being a CCBC veteran, being a lifer. Okay. And now being a guy that coaches CCBC. And like you said, like you understand the reason why guys want to go down south. Right. I think we all do. Like it's attractive. It's fantastic. If you're really good, if you're competitive, it's expensive. But there's a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, but there's also a lot of positives, a lot of negatives to play CCBC for your whole life. Right. So, My big question, and as a head coach, as a recruiter, you recruit for 5 years, right? Not for 1 year, not what you can do for me now. Maybe some guys like the old basketball one and done kind of thing, but you recruit for a long period of time, and you have the ability to have a fantastic education through 5 years. You have this opportunity to play sports through having a fantastic education, right? One thing that I think a lot of kids don't really understand is that there's a whole world out there besides baseball. And the big question that I want to ask you, you're a guy, as we all are, I suppose, that has made a career out of baseball, right? You love the game. Baseball has given you a lot. You've given baseball a lot, right? There's a good trade-off there. You've spent your whole career playing baseball at UFC. I even remember one time after championships, I made the mistake of saying like, hey, you need to go somewhere, right? Totally prying into you, sorry, but also like you were so good that I was like, why is this guy hitting 380 for a 6-25 team kind of thing? But like when you talk to guys and when you bring kids in and when you mentor and role model kids, like with the education at UFC and with what you've been able to do creating a career out of baseball, like what conversation or message for kids right now, high school kids right now, that are the perfect candidate for Canadian baseball? Like, you know, we know the it's zero, like we all, or you and I suppose, and Isaiah as well. RJ was fucking good, I guess. But I had the dreams in high school. I remember being in high school being like, fuck the CC, man. Like, I'm fucking sick at baseball. I don't want to go. And I remember getting the emails from the old Calgary coach and being like, no. Right? No shot. I remember getting the emails from all these CCBC schools being like, no. And then I went to Douglas, sucked ass, went back to the CCBC and loved the CCBC, right? And I'm a big proponent for the CCBC because of the exact reason that you have done it, in that you got to play a full career. You got a fantastic degree from a fantastic university. And now you're making a career out of baseball. What kind of conversation and advice or whatever that you can talk to a good high school player in Canada that, like, I realized after about my second year, I wasn't going to make the big leagues, right? Like, you know, a little bit of realism, and it's tough to talk about, like, because it's like, you don't want to crush dreams out here, but there are guys getting drafted from the CC. There are guys that move on from the CC to go play more competitive baseball, right? And I know I told you this was a long conversation, RJ. You don't need to look that bored here, okay? But
I'm just waiting for the actual question.
The question is, how do you sell it? How do you sell the CC, man? Because like it's been a long thing. It's been around, you know, like what's the selling point? Talk to us, recruit us as if we're 16, 17 years old.
Yeah. I mean, I think big thing, closer to home, right? That's one thing that's really nice. I think people underestimate or sleep on how good the CCBC actually is, especially now. I don't know if you guys have been around it too much the last couple of years, but man, every starter's 85 plus, you know, there's guys hitting 8 to 10 bombs in 30 games. Like, you know, it's good baseball, right? And there's guys, I don't know, your buddy Trevor Brigg didn't get drafted at OC, right? Yeah. And, you know, and Willie Diaz out of PBA, undrafted free agent, right? And just guys moving on with their baseball careers. But, and then, so I mean, on the baseball side of it, it's just, don't sleep on it, right? Like, it is really, really good baseball. And there's guys that have a lot of guys transfer, you know, go down for a year or two and then come back and wish they started here in the
first. Lots of guys.
Right. Tons. Right. Mm-hmm. That's something that, you know, I try to explain that side of it. Right. And then on the academic side of it, kids are either one of two ways, right? They already understand the importance of it, or their parents are really hard on them, or they're don't really get it yet. Right. And that's something that, you know, I wouldn't say they're stuck in their ways, but, you know, I think I'm lucky enough that I was able to get a job right after school, right out of school. And I share that story too, right? And I was able to, you know, coach, you know, at the school that I played baseball with, right? And like I said, I'm extremely lucky, but I think at the end of the day, like, don't sleep on it. It's really good baseball, closer to home, right? And it's super, super competitive too, right? It's up to eight teams now.
Yeah.
And there's some good rivalries in the CC for sure. Like I said, it's exciting baseball, and what tells me is the amount of guys that come back and say that they wish they started here, right? And
yeah,
something that,
me, I'm one.
Yeah, right. And like I said, I know there's got a lot of guys, and so Calgary's an area where, like, there are some really, really good baseball players here who are, you know, I wouldn't say obsessed, but their only primary option is to go down south, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, guess they usually end up back here within a year or two. So usually, not always, but, you know, and that's something that, that's, I guess, why not start here? Why not take it more seriously here, right? And like I said, I was lucky enough throughout my whole 4 years of playing that, you know, I didn't play in one game in 4 years, right? And so, again, I played a ton. I got a lot better. I was a fairly, maybe slightly above average high school player. You know, I wasn't an all-star. I hit like 310, you know, a few doubles, a couple bombs, that kind of thing, right? And then I would like to think that I really developed as I was here. Right. And got a little bit bigger and stronger and that kind of thing. Right. So, you know, but I got the opportunity to play every day. And that's something that, you know, can't be slept over. Right.
And I think that's probably one of the best little snippets that I can take from that was you got to go where you're going to play straight up.
Be realistic.
Get better. Yeah. I'll be realistic.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And like, we're very open here. Like, we're okay. Like, we've had, like, this past year, we had three guys transfer down south. And, like, mm-hmm. if guys have a lot of success here and they come to me and say, hey, Cam, I want to explore this, who the hell am I to say no? Right. Like, then they're just, if I say no, like, I'm not helping you with that, then they're just not going to play for me anyways. So I've lost them anyway. Right. So, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's something that we're open to as well. Right. Like, obviously, I would love if guys, you know, it's a 5-year program. Right. We're here to, you know, win as much as we can throughout all of every year, but throughout that 5-year progression and development. But if they come to me and say, hey, Cam, I want to explore going down south, then we support that. We help them do whatever we can to get down there, right? So that's something that, you know, again, like I said, as soon as if I were to say no, then they're just not going to want to play for me anyways, right?
100%. So. Yeah. And I think something that gets overlooked too is kids maybe in smaller towns who don't have that much exposure. Like, hey, I can now reach out to Cam Williams and my town might be 3,000 people, but now that there's video and opportunities, now I'm a small town kid who threw baseballs at a brick wall in a cage full of snow all winter. Now I got a shot to play college baseball in Canada and then get my education and then hopefully get a job and everything like that after. So yeah, that's a cool part of it for sure.
Especially the prairies here, right? I think a lot of baseball players can get slept on, right? And again, they're just from smaller towns. Like, and if you're not like a Vauxhall or a Dogs guy or a Bucks guy, then you kind of get swept over a little bit, right? And there's still some really, really good baseball players that, you know, come out of smaller community ball type organizations, right? So and that's the one thing with online services, right? Like, I mean, I'm fairly heavy on field level, right? That's a really good resource. I know there's others as well, right? And, you know, it's something that anyone can make a profile. You don't have to have, you know, don't have to be at a certain academy. Don't have to have a coach that's really good with camera, right? Just set up your phone, take a video of your swing, right? And that kind of thing, right? So it's definitely come a long way, especially out here, I think, in the prairies.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree with that actually, Wedge. I mean, we've had enough guys on from the Prairies that are all talking about the upward trend that's going on right now, just because 100%. Of exposure, right? I mean, we had both Amos Ramon and John Alley on this pod, and we had both. Yeah, we had both. Okay, good. And I mean, again, both of them just talking about upward trends. Yeah. And that goes for everyone because they're also playing the Sask teams and the Alberta teams. I think, didn't the Bucks play them in a tournament?
Yeah, so they did like a fall Alberta elite year. So that fall
league
year. And Home Run Sports Training Academy, I believe, at least in the regular season, won 15-0. So they were really, really strong. And I talk with John and Amos fairly consistently. And, you know, that's something that, they're a strong area to recruit from, right, RJ?
Hey, oh boy, hey, the best guys come out of that place. I'll tell you that for free.
We had two guys in this recruiting class, and, you know, chat with a couple more for the next one. And, you know, like I said, they're doing a really good job over there. So it's, you know, very happy with the guys that came from there this year. And, you know, it's a relationship moving forward for sure.
Awesome.
Upward trending at UFC as well, I would say.
Obviously, man. Was it 22-14?
22-14 in the fall.
2014 was like my that's when I first. This fall 14 was my first semester.
No. The overall record 22-14.
Oh, in the was fall,
that,
yeah.
That's what it was, eh?
Ken, we don't care when you started, man. Yeah, really.
I heard 14. I was like, yeah, that's when I started.
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so this fall we went 22-14 and
unreal.
Good baseball overall. So, really excited moving forward.
If I ever come back over that way, I'm going to need to watch some of that baseball because last I saw it, it was just what? Hurt.
Always welcome. We got lots of friends here. So.
I know, man. I miss you guys out there.
That's great, man. Hey, we've taken up a lot of time. You got summer coaching plans, or is it just like a UFC and that's it? Recruit all summer kind of thing?
The new Weyburn coach, actually.
Yeah, no way.
That's what I heard.
Is that breaking news? Is that real?
No. Actually, Corey Harrell is returning to Weyburn, to my knowledge. And I know he was really excited for last year, and unfortunately, they couldn't run, right? So, him and Palat were going to be the Weyburn
coach. That's right, Drake.
So last summer, I actually took off of coaching, and honestly, it was awesome.
I bet.
as much as I love it. I never had a summer to myself, honestly, right? Like, mm-hmm. I played or coached. If I wanted to, you know, go away for a weekend, I could, right? And yeah. I, you know, recruited as much as I could, right? And was always around the ballpark anyways, but just not locked into a certain place all the time, right?
That's super nice.
It was nice. I mean, I might get back into it, I don't see myself doing that anytime soon.
Don't do it. You got enough. You're good, yeah. Man. You got to grind for like 9 months a year.
Yeah, but it's nice, like, you know, if there's a big weekend up in St. Albert, I'll head up there. Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't get out to Sask or Manitoba this summer, but I'm hoping to next summer. So, and I was around for the, you know, PBL tournament this past in August there. So my folks are still in the Lower Mainland.
You were here and you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I reached out to you. I don't know.
What? Yeah, no way.
Typical Wedge to leave you
on red. I was there with North Delta.
Yeah. So I was there for the PBL tournament in August, and like I said, my parents are still back in the Lower Mainland, so it's good excuse to get back there. And like I said, I'm a Reds alum, so it's good to see those guys too once in a while.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, next time you come for a recruiting trip, I'll show you around. Show you boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I should be back for 5 days over the holidays, but probably nothing going on. But next summer I'll definitely reach out.
Let's do it.
Sweet.
You should just dress up in like a pure scout uniform, get the clipboard and everything. Oh, don't look at that guy. No, don't even look at him. No, he's just and then just fuck.
Just snake.
just
walking up.
Yard gun, that's it.
Just walking up to other guys.
Oakley's inside.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Walking up to other coaches from colleges, but hey man, I heard that this guy is just, you don't want him. You know, he's a problem.
God, incredible. He's a problem.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you, Cam. This was a really good time.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, yeah, and you guys have been doing a really good job with this too. So I'm a big candidate for Western Canadian baseball, and you guys have been killing it. So keep working, and you know, it's good exposure for a lot of guys, and I know a lot of listeners enjoy what you guys are doing. So keep it up.
Isn't that nice?
Thanks a lot, Gams. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Cam. Thanks for coming, my guy.
No worries. Yeah. All right, take care, guys. Have a good one.
See you later. See ya.
Both sides of college baseball with
Cam. Also both sides. on the field in college baseball, which we didn't even talk about. God, he pitched his senior year.
That's right. And was dominant.
He did. He was good.
Nasty. He was this guy all the way down. He was a gamer. Incredible.
The full clock.
Yeah. Wow. He even pitched in 2018, my last year there too.
Yeah. He was a starter for Calgary. I think he started they were really bad that year, to be honest. He was good. Colin was good. And then a couple other guys were really good, but just like the classic problem with UFC was just their depth, right?
Yeah.
The studs on the team were studs. And then he was like, I wanted to ask him about this because I think he just had the thought of, I'm tired of fucking losing. Get me on the fucking mound because I'm here to win games.
I think so too.
And he had like a 3-something ERA too after not pitching since like probably high school, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 3-4, what a pleasure.
I think it was. Yeah. That guy's awesome, man. He truly is.
He is. And
people.
UFC is noticeably getting better. Like I've heard multiple people say that UFC is like starting to be there, starting to compete. Yeah. And like, let's be honest here, guys. They have been irrelevant for a decade since before he got in there. And it had nothing to do with, like I said, the studs on their team. It was just a tough situation. Like, and the weather doesn't help. Their facilities at the time, like they played out of Foothills, which was tough to sell because it was, you know, falling apart. City doesn't really take care of it a whole lot, but you know, it's a turning around program, and it's only going to strengthen the CCBC. Like if we're talking about how the CCBC is growing, like the programs like UFC that have had a lot of turnover and now have a stable hand and a steady guy to be able to help this program become better. Now, like the CCBC is just going to get better as these guys make it better, right? Yeah. So
only as strong as your weakest link, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
That's reality. You got
8 teams in the league now. If all 8 teams are doing positive things, like that's a competitive ass conference.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you'll see those not the top, obviously not the top end guys, but you know, let's say that middle high tier guys go, I'm going to fucking go to Calgary. I'm going to stay in Calgary instead. I'm going to grind. You know what? And then that's when it goes off the rails where people in the South are going to have to start taking the Canadians a bit more seriously if they can't even fucking recruit a top level guy because he's trying to stay home. It's like, what's going on? What's going on up there?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, buds. What's going on?
Just a testament to some of those teams getting better. And I don't want to like talk about OC at all really, but like they beat CSN last year, like, or right before COVID started, they beat CSN. They beat Central Arizona, like five-year program, obviously some older guys playing JUCOs, but those are nationally ranked junior colleges, and OC is battling to be the best team. Like, it's not like they're just walking through everybody else. Like, PBA is always competitive. They've always had guys that are good. And we've had the CCBC conversation a million times, but it's getting there. It really is. And like, it's going to keep growing. There's lots of players, there's more information. And some of these teams have 50 plus dudes on September 1st showing up.
Crazy. So there's space at 51 crazy. Guys.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts.
Wow. Crazy.
It's growing.
I think this was awesome having Gams.
Gams.
It's awesome having Gams on though. Really. It really was. Because we've had the CC conversation a few times and you know my viewpoint on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just because I only saw it.
I saw it. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. It was shit. Oh, well, come on now. At the time, yeah, but I think I also watched.
We all did at the time.
Fraser Valley and Calgary, I think, at the time in like 2015 or 16, I think it was.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Fraser Valley's first year was like 16, and like they came in and they were pretty good. And TRU's always been fairly competitive. Like they've been pretty good. They had a center fielder, I think, at one point, who was okay. Isaiah McDonald, maybe.
Okay,
there you go.
Okay, so
yeah, and I'm then hot. Yeah, I'm you with Salahub now too, like
Salahub,
who are the new
Victoria too?
It's a new team, right? Yeah,
Peltier, Curtis Peltier.
Who's the other new team? Is it Edmonton? Edmonton's new. Other new
Edmonton
team.
Is new-ish, but Victoria is like the newest.
This like this year or last year before COVID, I think.
Right.
I was in Vancouver when they were official.
Yeah, the Golden Tide.
Which is cool because they'll link up with probably the Harbor Cats because isn't Peltier the owner of?
He's a GM of the Harbor Cats.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah, I think he just got promoted like recently to GM.
Yeah, and then Kelowna's got the Falcons, Kamloops, that's right. West Coast League team.
That's
now.
Right.
I think Edmonton's got
the Riverhawks and the prospects.
Yeah, which is how the hell.
Calgary's obviously got the dogs.
Have we talked about that?
Not really.
Have we talked about how they're going to go West Coast from Edmonton? Are you kidding?
Not really, but don't spoil anything because there's going to be conversations about that in the future with people that are involved. So.
Oh, hey, spoiler alert.
Yeah. So. No, it seems like every CCBC team, Lethbridge has the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
Calgary has the Dogs program, if that were to be a relationship that they wanted, but also they have Edmonton and all these other places, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing's too far away. All the Saskatchewan teams need players to fill it out too, right? CCBC team has a very close connection, or at least a building connection, with a summer collegiate team. And that's like, I don't know about you guys or Isaiah, I don't know about you or other guys. I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, like CCBC was competitive and then I would roll right into Wimble and I would be like hot and ready, like a little Caesar's pizza out there, just fucking zooming and
hot and sweaty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good relationship. It's a good program. Everything's going up, man.
Yeah. It's cool to see what's going on with baseball in Canada right now. It's pretty exciting. And we're right at the beginning of it.
Yeah. Kind of. Young guys. RJ's got to get back here before he misses the wave.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, hopefully it's not a wave. I hope it's the bottom of a mountain. You know what I mean? We'll just keep on climbing it. Yeah.
Great imagery, RJ. Fantastic. Yeah. I think on that note, it's a good time to bounce, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
I have some food to eat. Check out all this food I got. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's goulash. That's soup. Those are dumplings. This is icing. Okay, so before a little anecdote about Czech Republic. Oh, I just spilled my soup. Little thing about Czech Republic is it's very common that they'll have like a sweet dish, like a dessert dish for a meal.
Oh.
Or they'll eat it before dinner. You know what I'm saying? So they'll have the dessert. I haven't gotten used to it. So like, it's a little silly, you know. There might be a lot of Czech people listening. I won't get stabbed. So let's just reel back those comments,
that's
gentlemen.
Dumb.
It is definitely an adjustment. So today on the menu was goulash or the donuts, and the donuts are it's like a donut. They put a bit of a plum sauce on the top of it, and it's really tasty. And then you have some icing, homemade whipped icing on it, whipped cream on it. And then they're like, yeah, you can have one of the two. And I was like, obviously the goulash, it's lunchtime, it's noon, what are we talking about? And then I look over to my right, and then there's a girl who's eating the donuts. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I'm not doing that one. But they're really good. I had a couple before the show started. That's all I got. All right, I'm sorry, guys.
What an excellent finish to the episode. Thank you, RJ.
You can just cut that, honestly. Just cut
it. No, we're going to keep it in.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
RJ, did you work out today, buddy?
I did, buddy. The deadlifts were solid.
Deadlift.
You fucked the program.
Don't give me that face. You know the deadlifts are on there. First.
Oh, are you hearing this guy? Right?
Oh, no.
You're pulling my leg. You're pulling my tail. You are actually messing with me.
Oh, we caught him live on
Monday, December 6th, hex bar deadlift. Get off my back.
All right, let me pull
3x6.
Let me pull this up. Let me.
What do you mean?
Pretty,
why would I lie to you?
I'm pretty sure I don't.
Just the comet tail that never stops going.
All right, RJ, you're lucky, buddy.
What do you get off me? I missed two lifts. That's all I missed, and I was out. I had a bad sickness.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, bye.
Okay, all right. Bye, guys.
Spins, fires.